It's 7 Land Ham, brought to you by Good Game St. James. Lana Del Rey says her pussy tastes like Pepsi Cola. At 7 Land Ham, our small pets taste like Agricola. Also, there's a game called Agricola, which is cardboard flavored. So plow your fields, sow your seed, and raise your crops. Then go back to the farmhouse to plow your wife, sow your seed, and raise your kids. Working on the farm never sounded as sexy as it will today. Only on 7 Land Ham.
Our music needs to be a bit more porny.
You thought it'd be porny. The music sounded
more
porny.
Slap bassy, yeah. Like bow, 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 bow,
bow. It does sound like the start of some sort of BSDM. Yeah. Maybe
I wouldn't know, Matt. I don't even know.
I don't know what that
I don't
is.
Even know what those letters mean. Agricola is a German-style board game created by Uwe Rosenberg, who is also known for creating Babel, Bonanza, and Le Havre. Rosenberg is a German mathematical madman who founded his own publishing company, Lookout Games, in the year 2000. However, we know of Agricola as being published by Z-Man Games in the Oz.
In the Alps.
The game was released at Spiel 2007, where it was voted as the second best game shown at the convention. The game was released in English by Z-Man Games in July 2008. Agricola won the Spiel des Jahres special award for best complex game in 2008, but I bet you didn't call it that because they sound very French.
Yeah.
Best complex game in 2008. And the 2008 Deutscher Spielpreis, which I guess is the special German prize.
Yeah, that's a good guess.
Yeah. It ended Puerto Rico's run of more than 5 years as the highest rated game on the board game website Board Game Geek. Which we don't endorse, follow. No advert. This just happened.
It's just mentioned in general conversation.
It's just a thing. It stayed at the top of the rankings between September 2008 and March 2010.
It's quite a stretch nowadays. It changes a little bit
more. Yeah. Also, I'd like to put a disclaimer in that Uwe Rosenberg is German. Maybe a mathematician, but might not be a madman. But, you know.
Authorized by the government. Yeah.
Authorized by the sponsors, Good Games, St. James. Yeah. We're disclaimer. To plow, sow, and plow again with me today, I have agricultural Aaron Grain Harvester Graham.
Oh, wow. Double barrel one.
Yeah.
I love it.
Three words in there. And the manure mulching madman, Matt McHale.
Oh, that was good.
Manure mulching.
Yeah, that's nasty. Yeah. I've seen him mulch manure.
Why would you mulch it? It's already, it's already pretty mulchy.
Yeah, and it's smelly.
You get a cloud of brown.
Well, you know, when you have your lawnmower and you run over the backyard where you haven't picked up the dog poo, you end up mulching it.
I see.
You're smelly cow pats, Matt.
Yes.
Yeah,
I keep cows in my backyard.
How do you spell cow pats?
S-P... Oh, cow pats. No, it's smelly. Oh,
shit.
Yeah, S-H-I-T.
Yep.
All right, now, guys, I've never played this game. I'm going to head that up at the top of the thing, so you're going to be able to teach me today.
We can be the experts.
Along with the whistler, also known as the listener. Now, my usual gripe to these things is, what the fuck? Why are we excited about playing a game based on a life of intensive labor, smelly cowpats, and rural depression? Where's the space? Where's the magic? Where are the dragons? Where are the dragons? Dragons, Aaron!
There is a dragon.
Is there?
But the dragon is called hunger.
Oh, and a very,
and
oh,
it's
very
a
mean dragon.
Beast. Yeah.
Always wanting more.
Yeah, and it's difficult to fight the dragon. Like, you can slay a dragon with a sword and some magic spells, but hunger is going to be there whilst you're doing that. And this game, when I first sat down to play it, I like farming games as much as I like train games. I think I like things that are inane.
I'm wearing a cap today to stop the brow from furrowing.
There's a revelation. I like farming games.
I like farming games.
Yeah.
I like train games. I'm not sure when I became 70 years old. I sat down to play this and I was
excited. Fantastic game of Ludo coming up after this.
Maybe we can play some Trouble afterwards.
Hang on, what are you playing this weekend?
This weekend, I'm playing another 40s classic, Diplomacy.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Right. I'm going to reenact World War One with my friend.
Okay, guys, so what's the objective of the game?
Well, the objective is, as we alluded to before, is to be able to feed your family. Now, the only way you're going to be able to do that is to...
go down to the fast food place, buy some fast food, come back, feed
well,
it to them.
Not in post bubonic plague Europe.
Oh,
is that the
setting?
A little bit of a
talking 17th century.
Yeah.
We're talking like widespread hunger, crops that don't grow very well.
It's like pre-apocalypse.
Yeah. So like it's difficult for you to do pretty much anything. Central heating hasn't been invented yet.
I find that hard to believe. That's all, we've always had that.
Central heating, it feels like it's been around forever, honestly.
Yeah, it does.
But yeah,
I've had it all my life. Why would anybody else not live with it?
I can't even think of anything before.
Don't be ridiculous, Aaron. No.
So the objective is to have, as well, like, you've fed your family, they're all alive and kicking. Yeah. You have not become beggars in any way. And then at the end of that, you want a farm that's slightly better than your neighbor's farm.
That's right.
Is that so? Not only are you looking to survive, you're looking to shove it down the face of the Joneses. Sorry, shove it down the throat of the Joneses.
Yeah, you're all struggling to feed your family. One of you goes to the fishing hole and cuts the other person out, and they can't feed their family, and you laugh and laugh and laugh.
From your side of the wooden fence, because you built fences, and they couldn't build fences, because and you have better fences than they do.
Because they needed to go fishing to feed their family so they didn't perish.
But a fence helps both of you out. You know, you put up a fence that, you know.
Oh, no, there's like a 5-meter gap. Yeah. It's just like, build your fence slightly
away. The agricola fire break.
Yeah.
Right. That's it. And everyone knows you don't cross a fire break.
Yeah. Never.
So I'm trying to keep my family alive by, it's going to be a resource game, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is, yeah. Resource management. A little bit of hand management as well with the things
you have. A little bit of animal management.
Oh, hand management. That's what happens.
A little bit of animal husbandry.
Yeah.
Hand management's what happens when I'm left alone in the house. But anyway.
Hopefully not animal management.
No.
Or husbandry.
No, none of that. Sorry, Matt.
There's quite a mix. There's looking after animals. There's growing crops. There's expanding your farm. There's having babies in cold hours,
or at least practicing.
There's no practicing in this game.
That's coming up in Agricola Sex Edition.
Yeah,
no, that was shallow, that joke. I didn't go deep there at all.
I haven't got any notes about that edition in the expansions part of this.
I found something interesting.
Sexpansion, there we go.
Sexpansion.
Hey!
Agricola.
It's too early for a high five, Aaron.
Way too early.
Agricola, as it's pronounced, I've heard Agricola.
Yeah, I've always
Agricola,
called it.
But it's Agricola.
Yeah.
And there was actually a Roman... Roman lord,
yeah.
Governor, called Agricola in the UK. Uh-huh. So back in the day,
but Roman occupation of the UK.
But this has absolutely nothing to do with him.
Is this before
Agricola is the Latin word for farmer?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah. And if you press how to pronounce it on the web, it says Agricola. Doesn't say Agricola.
Agricola,
which is what I always called it. I was always going, "Why
you
is
wish
everyone
the land of Agricola?"
Yeah,
that's an American's wave. Yeah, I think an American printer. It's Agricola. No.
But the objective of the game, have a prosperous farm. Also having a diverse farm. You get penalized in this game for not having an aspect of it. So the final scoring comes down to all the different aspects of the farm. You have at least one each of all of those things. And you get penalized if you don't have some of them. You also get points for having more family members. So the more reproducing you're doing, the better your house is. You start off with a wooden hut, which upgrades to a clay and then stone one. So you get more and more points. You also get points for having more paddocks. You get more points for having stables and such. And each room in your house also.
You also get penalized if you don't have... You haven't effectively used your farm. If you've got empty spaces, it'll take points
you've
away
got a fallow
from you.
Field.
If you've got a fallow field, it'll take points away from
upon.
You.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we touched a little bit on about the bubonic post bubonic plague world. Is there any other narrative component to this game? You know, setting and
that's
who's
an interesting
involved?
Thing
we got
about
names,
this
characters.
One. It's very mechanics based. You could put it in space or with dragons or something. Honestly, like if it was just like space. Beans,
yeah,
or something.
Moon farming.
It would be pretty similar. Like it doesn't necessarily have to be there, but it adds a little bit of a sense to it in that the art direction's very rustic, and the different occupations, minor occupations, and stuff all go along with that kind of medieval theme. Like it could be a modern day farming game as well, but then there's kind of less of that you have to feed your family or they die pressure. You can't go to McDonald's.
Exactly. Yeah.
And there's not as much of that big conglomerate come and buy you out and kick you off your farm aspect.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you're entirely responsible for your own actions and
self-sufficient
Looking at you, Atlas Farms.
Did you say where it was set? It's like something. It's like a European.
Yeah, Central Europe. So Central Europe. Thinking. Well, I guess that means Germany, Ukraine. That sort of area.
So you've got it pretty easy, as in there's going to be decent soil and rainfall and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. It's not like here's the Sahara Desert.
Lucky those things have absolutely no bearing on the game. Yeah, so.
Great. Here's the Sahara Desert. Make some bread.
You're not really afflicted with things like your children not growing past the age of four or anything. Every child that's born
instantly,
the next 6 months after they're born are immediately helping you go fishing, picking grain.
They don't decide they want to move to Sydney or Melbourne and pick up some sort of arts degree. They don't do that.
Screw you, Dad. Yeah. I don't want to be a farmer.
It's too hard. That's exactly what I would say.
It's really difficult. Also, it takes about 5 years to catch a boat from Europe to Australia. So
yeah.
Go stick around the farm. How about your parents?
That's it.
So what's in the box?
What's in the box?
You've made quite a mess of the pod table here. It looks like a lot of shit in there.
Yeah, we got two copies of Agricola here, and this is...
Ooh, don't cross the streams.
A hefty one.
You get different components mixed up. You'll be sad later on when you want to play.
Yeah, it'll be terrible if my lame pieces got exchanged with the really good pieces.
Let's talk about these really good pieces. So we've got...
So Aaron, you've got an older version of it.
Yeah, this is one of the very first board games that I bought, and it's quite complex. It's still one of the most complex games that I own, but I really do enjoy it. I've got the older version that's got little cubes to represent the animals, but nowadays the newer edition, same price and everything.
Matt's flaunting his animal
shape. I'm flaunting my sheep.
His sheep-shaped sheep.
My sheep-shaped sheep.
Are they ship-shaped sheep?
They're ship-shaped sheep-shaped sheep.
I've got to edit this later on, guys.
ship.
They're super ship-shaped sheep. Yep. No, anyway.
Oh, shit.
They're wooden. So we've got wooden sheep, we've got wooden boars, we've got wooden cows. Mm-hmm. And when you pick up 15 wooden cows...
Oh, here we go. The sound test. What do they sound like, Matt?
What
do you got? 50?
Ready?
Oh, that's so many cows.
How many
so
cows was that?
15 cows.
15 brown cows.
15 brown cows.
How now?
You know, that gets us back to the porny stuff, because you heard that, brown chicken, brown cow. Is there a lot of brown chicken, brown cow in the...
No chickens in this game, unfortunately.
No chickens. However,
which I think is pretty important.
Yeah. It seems important when you're
farming.
It's one of those, multi-use animals, isn't it? Like milk from the cow.
And from beef chicken?
I was getting... So you can get milk and beef from a cow.
Sure.
Nothing else, I think. That's it. Oh, leather.
Leather.
Yeah. Chicken. Yeah.
Drinking horns?
Chickens taste like chicken, and you get eggs from them as well, which is a completely different food.
You can technically get infinite eggs from chickens.
Yeah, you can.
Well, not until they die.
Well, and then when they stop laying eggs, they become roast chicken.
You get the final meal. You've outlived your usefulness. Yeah. Oh, wait, not yet. Now you have.
How imagine having a friend like that, isn't it? It's like, you can come out and hang as long as you're funny and you bring pizza every time. Then one day you'd have no jokes, pizza.
I'm going to have to eat your flesh.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen to me. Every time.
Maybe I could just dial and they could deliver. It's too late for you. It's too late now.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, because I really don't know, but there's an expansion called All Creatures Great and Small.
Yeah,
it's not an expansion. It's a standalone two-player version of the game.
Yeah, there is.
Which,
that's right.
Doesn't that have chickens?
Yeah, it does. It has some extra animals.
Matt's concerned that we're concerned about the lack of chickens.
I haven't played Creatures Great and Small, but I do remember something about chickens and the growing of such chickens.
So we've got a ton of wooden shapes.
Yes, Annie Meeples. So we all know the Meeples came about with...
Carcassonne.
Right.
So Agricola's come out and they've got Annie Meeples.
Yeah, they're really nice.
I thought you said meatballs.
Annie meatballs.
You can also get meatballs out of cows.
You turn cows into Annie meatballs.
What did you say? Annie meeples.
Like animal.
Yeah.
Meeples.
Annie
meeples.
Annie
what does that mean?
Animal meeples.
The people are animals. What the what are we talking about?
Meeples are the little fellas in Carcassonne.
Yeah.
Why are they called meeples? They're like me and they're people.
People,
right. So they're like, so meeples. And then we've taken that one, which was already a portmanteau, into a portmanteau, which is animeeples. They're animal-esque.
I'm going to be Googling some words later on.
If they're on it's Urban on the box.
If they're on Open Dictionary, fellas, we're in trouble. Yeah. That'll make our censorship bureau go crazy.
Don't fear. It's on the box.
Right.
Now includes animeeples.
Speaking of what else is in the box. So we've done the animals. You've each got... there are various crops and other goods, construction materials. You've got wood from chopping down trees. You've got clay from...
A clay pit.
You've got stone from a quarry. You've got grain from the fields, from wheat, and you've got vegetables from the grocery store.
Do you have to clear land to make space?
Yes, you need to plow.
Mm-hmm.
First you need to plow, and then you need to plant, or sow.
So
plant, plow, and then sow.
Plow and then sow.
Plow and
then sow. And then later on,
wait
for it,
you
can plow and sow. When that one comes up,
Is that when you're really hitting speed?
Whoever
gets that one is in a...
There's also the farm. What represents you as a farm? So it's a number of...
outhouses or barns and...
Fences. Sheds. Not sheds.
Stables.
Yep. And then you've also got your workers. Any workers in this case, big flat discs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's what people look like in mid 17th century Europe. Everyone was flat and looked like
very
disc-ish.
No.
So that's your farm. And literally, once you use up all these materials, and there's about a dozen fences and there's about five stables and five workers, once you exhaust those, you can't build anymore.
They're very clear with the fences and stables. Once you've built them, if you are so lucky to build all of them, you can't pull them from other people's.
So if someone else has built their farm, they've got all those. You can't build anymore.
No, there's some for each color. So there's Agricola plays up to five players.
Yeah.
Each one of the colors is red, purple, green.
White
and blue.
I see. So the farms are different colours.
That's right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But each of you, also included in the box, has a farm board, which is a 3x4 grid, which you start 3x5 grid, in which you start two spaces with a house already on them. The first two rooms of your house. It's a wooden house, and then
just looks like broken down sticks.
Oh yeah, that's
construction material.
And then you place your house bits on top of it, which are also included in the box.
The tiles,
very nice little sturdy cardboard squares, which have ploughed fields on one side, stone fields on the other side of that one, and then you've got wooden and clay houses on the other sides of the. Things. So that's an easy way for you to upgrade your house, put ploughed fields onto your board, and then you're going to put stables and fences and things. Sort of thing on
right. There's a shitload of cards in this thing. Are they cards or is it event deck?
The complexity of Agricola doesn't come from all of the bits, and something we haven't explained yet are the. What are they called? The action cards that you put out on the board. You also have a handful of cards, and you have all of the cards available to you to use as actions, which are out. So this one takes quite a bit of setup. You've got to have each of your family members on your farm, which is established very, very simple. On that 5x3 grid, it's just two family members on your two wooden houses.
The rule is one per... Well, it's all one house, but it's rooms. You've got one worker per room at the start of the game.
Okay.
So two rooms, two workers.
Yeah. So if you expand your farm on the land, then you've got less land that you can grow croppage on,
Yeah,
correct.
Right.
But less wasted space at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and that's what you get rewarded for occupying that plot you showed me before.
So now, what you're aiming for really is to take up all of the space on your farm, so that 5x3 grid, and you're going to fill that up with more rooms of your house. You can have up to... you can have as many as you want, as you can afford. You're only ever going to be able to fit the five family members in there, though. And then you're going to fence off some areas, put stables in some areas, and then you're going to have fields... with crops or without crops.
You know, I tried to fence off the entire farm. I thought, oh, that's going to give me no wasted space.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't give you enough fence pieces.
It doesn't work.
So it's very clever.
Saw you coming, Mikhail.
And they restricted the amount of fences that you can build, so you have to kind of plan your moves out very carefully to see where you're going to be placing your fences and such. But I think we should talk about the action cards, which are...
Yeah. Well, yeah, let's move on into how to play.
There's 14 rounds throughout the game. So the first one, and each one is a certain number of turns, and then there's a harvest turn. So at the beginning of the game, you have four turns, and then there's a harvest turn, a final harvest. Then there's a harvest. So in the start of the game, there's an actions turned over, an action card, which is a communal action. Anyone's able to take it. However, only one person is able to take it at a time. That's a very important point of this game, is that you cannot occupy an action space with a worker unless it's vacant. So there's no doubling up. I know there are certain games out there, from memory, I can't actually recall them, where you can...
You can double up. Like Carson City and... there's a few others where you can, like, duel people for the right to use that action. This is like a worker placement game.
Lords of Waterdeep is an example where there's a card you can play and you can actually play an action on top of somebody else. But in this case, there is no taking an action on top of somebody else's action.
Yeah, so at its core, Agricola is a worker placement game. You're going to have... an amount of actions there. As each person places a worker, they're going to do the action that you place them on, and then someone else, you can stop other people from doing that action by virtue of you being there. So say we've
so
got
this
it laid
is another
out
board you've got out here.
Yeah, so everyone has their personal farm.
Yeah.
So say there's three of us playing.
Yeah.
You're going to have your personal farm in front of you, which is that 5x3 grid, and then you're going to need another big space in the middle, which is where additional action cards and then the round action cards are going to come up as well.
This represents the village, I think, the communal village.
Okay. Yeah. So opportunities that are coming up, so to speak, and within the village you can take advantage of.
Yeah, and so as your farm becomes more prosperous, more options open up in the village. Later on, the quarry will open up. You'll be able to get stone from there. Later on, you'll be able to buy sheep from the market, and then later boar, and then cattle. But as you start off, it's very simple. You can get some small amount of clay. You can get a fairly large amount of wood, which is three wood pieces. You can take grain, plow a field, choose an occupation, get
reed,
get food, which is another little token that we didn't discuss. You can build rooms, build minor improvements, or take the starting player for the next turn.
Occupation?
And occupations as well.
So what triggers the emergence of the quarry and things like that? Is it the round that you're on, or do you have an achievement?
So this is the interesting thing about this, is each round that progresses, you place each of your family members. Once everyone's placed the family members, you're taken back to your houses, flip up the next round, and then that happens that 14 times. So there's 14 rounds in the game.
Looking at the first one, it's broken into four stages. So round one to four, stage one cards, you flip them over. Now, I know there's build fences, there's sheep, there's sow or bake bread, then there's minor or major improvement. Now, they're shuffled up at the beginning of the game, so you don't know what order they're going to come out in. You do know that those four actions will come out in the first stage, but you don't know the precise order. There's not a huge number of variations there, so you know you're either going to get sheep, or you're going to get the fences, or you're going to get the improvement, or you're going to be able to sow. So, and that's the same for all the subsequent rounds. Each round there might be less cards, but still all you do is shuffle them up. And you just don't know the exact order, but you know exactly what cards are in there. They even give you a reference card so that you know what's coming up.
Right.
So you can plan. So if you've seen the sheep and you've seen the improvement, but you're sitting on a lot of wood, you know that in the next two rounds, there's a fair chance the fences are going
to
come up.
Have you been sitting on a lot of wood, Matt, in your time?
I sat on my wood earlier. It was really uncomfortable.
Yeah,
I had to tuck it back in.
As long as it's your own.
Sat on someone else's wood.
It's just stranger's wood.
Yeah.
Stranger's wood.
So that's basically the way the game works. After those four rounds in the first example, then there's a harvest. And that's where there are three extra actions that occur, but they're prescribed
things that have to be fulfilled at the end of it.
The first one is the harvesting of the fields. So if you've planted grain or you've planted vegetables, you harvest one of those back into your own personal supply.
Mm-hmm.
And then any others that remain on that tile, on that ploughed field, will stay there for subsequent turns. Now, you can trade those things in for food, or you can trade them in to feed your family for the next round, which is the it's all harvest.
Yeah, it's all harvest.
It's the feed your family phase.
Do you have to feed your animals when they come as well?
No, you don't have to. That's great.
Animals just feed themselves, pretty much. Yeah. Don't have to worry about that.
You don't have to worry about vets or anything.
This this game doesn't have RSPCA endorsement.
Okay. No.
So you can just let your animals go.
My favourite thing is there's a threshold. Oh, we'll explain this. I was explaining feeding first. Feeding your family is you need two food pieces per family member that you have. So after the first four rounds of play, you'll have placed eight actions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's each of your two people on different actions. So you'll have had eight actions. After all that's been finished, you're going to go to harvest. You'll take the top card of top
grain or vegetable.
Grain or vegetable from your fields. Then you'll have to feed your family by paying back to the supply two food for each family member. So at some point in your eight actions, you'll have need to accumulated four food.
That's it.
And it's pretty easy to do. There's a space that just gives you two food. There's one that accumulates more and more every turn, and you can pick that up.
You can turn your grain into bread if you've managed to build yourself a fireplace.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. This feeding your family is the last thing that you do.
Breeding. Breeding's the last thing.
Breeding?
Yeah, we're going to get on to breeding.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw somewhere that the element of chance in this game is pretty minimal. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, which is good. I've played a few worker placement-esque games that are similar to this, but they have a lot of... there's a game called Pillars of the Earth, where you're building a cathedral and you get more points, more bits of the cathedral that you build. And the randomness element of that is that there's cards flipped up every time to determine that the actions you can take, how much resources you can get. That doesn't happen in this one. The randomness element is very small.
It's the cards.
Until you get to the cards, which is like another aspect of the game entirely.
So the final, going back to the harvest, the last thing on the harvest is breeding. So if you have at least two of any particular breed of animal, whether it's sheep, cattle, or boar, or wild pigs, I should say, then two of those will produce one more. So you could have six, but you still only get one more sheep or you get one more cow. Mm-hmm. So if you've got two, you'll produce another one. That'll give you three. Then you're free to turn that cow, that sheep, whatever, into food the next harvest, you know, at your own leisure.
Right.
Yeah. So but they're worth more points. They're worth more food tokens. So, and that's the game. Really, the central idea is to feed your family. So if you don't have the food, they'll go hungry and you end up getting a begging card,
mm-hmm.
which is worth negative three points for every single one. And there's no way of getting rid of them.
Points or something like that as per each round? Is that what we're talking about?
End the game score.
How do we work out the points?
So after you've played each of these rounds where you play each of your workers and you've gone through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 harvests, that means you've had to feed each of your family members six times. After the very final harvest, you do one more harvest, make sure that you can feed your family even on the last one. Mm-hmm. Then you look at your overall farm and you get points based on how many fields you have, how many pastures you have, grain, vegetables, sheep, boar, cattle. And they all have certain thresholds, like if you have 8 sheep, you'll get the same amount of points as having 4 cattle because it's more difficult to raise the cattle.
Right.
If you have unused spaces, it's worth -1 point for each unused space on your farm. And then you'll get different points.
So you've got to do a little bit of maths after every round?
You do. And the last round kind of devolves down to this kind of how can I maximize the amount of points. Yeah. I'm going to get -1 if I don't fill in that space. But then if I get another sheep, I'll get another point for that so I can make it up.
Does that balance it out? So,
I think you mentioned that in the last pod, didn't you? Mm-hmm. The last one we were doing here. The last round of Agricola is like that, where you're just mathematically just figuring out
the
best way to maximize your resources.
But before that, you're just kind of going with what you feel like. You're like, oh, I'm gonna have some sheep, and I'm gonna use the sheep to breed them, cut them up into whatever to feed my family.
Chops.
Yeah. Well, I'll keep this boar inside my house so that I get at least 1 point for having a boar.
You can have one. I love that. You can have a pet. You're allowed to have one animal in your house. It doesn't. Yeah. You can't have one sheep, one cow, one boar.
You can have a cow as a pet?
You can have a cow.
Any animal in your house, and that becomes the pet. Yeah. Now,
very specifically, the rules are like, this is known as your pet.
Why? It's the house
pet. You
didn't
need to call it anything.
When I first played this game, it was I played with the Laos. Now they were, I was playing with Wes, the Cogs designer.
Family Laos.
The family Laos.
Yes,
yeah,
okay.
I was playing with Wes Lamont, the Cogs designer, and neither of us had played this before, so we were looking through the rule book and, oh, Jesus Christ, what the hell have we gotten ourselves into? Yeah. Okay, we wanted a quick game here. This is getting stressful. Right. Mm-hmm. In stepped the Laos, Tess in particular, and was able to teach us without referencing the rule book, and we were up and running.
Right.
And
what is the instruction book like, the rule book like?
It's very deep. The font's very small. It gets smaller throughout the book.
It's not your ticket to ride. Form
no it's
one
not,
sheet of paper.
It's not the small world concise bits with little
It's 12 pages of ever decreasing font size.
The first page is like, welcome to Agricola, you're gonna, here are the components, and then you turn the page and everything's small and you're
it's like one of those mortgage agreements on Lemony Snickets or something like that, isn't it?
He rolls it down like this and it's just tiny text at the bottom.
The front cover, yeah, that's not too bad. I can do that. Look at preparing to play cards, and then it gives you lots of examples in the columns, which is very useful. Mm-hmm. But they're very specific examples. Mm-hmm. And then, as I said, it just more there becomes addendum items and appendices,
and then you get to the actual back where they have the FAQs and the actual glossary of all of the cards and all of the corner cases and. The text is so tiny, and I very rarely used it because you can work the majority of it for yourself.
It looks like the back of a any index of a boring book. But
this game is a very teach-by-feel one.
Yeah.
Once you see a few rounds being played, you fully understand it. And the rule book doesn't do the best explanation of it. I'd say the rule book's one of the weakest part of this game.
Is there
any online resources for this game?
I think a YouTube... I've seen a couple YouTube videos which teach this in under 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's so much easier to see people going through the motions and doing it rather than trying to... throw yourself at this book. It's not one that you can just pick up and just jam a game.
Yeah,
on,
so it's not no gateway game here.
No gateway game.
It's best taught by having someone who knows the game inside and out and is able to teach you as you play. But what I was getting, the point I was getting to with the Laos is that we started, and the pets, we started naming the pets. And so all of a sudden, I ran into a bit of a difficult patch where I didn't have enough food, and all of a sudden, Flossie, the house sheep, was Flossie Steaks.
Flossie Mutton.
Flossie
Sniffy
chops.
The boar is now Sniffy the Bacon.
So Sniffy. There's that.
Smells so good.
Sniffy or bacon.
And that made this experience...
Is that cologne you're wearing?
No, I'm made out of bacon. It has the danger of being a bit of a dry game if you look at it at face value. But once you get into it and you start creating those little stories, you care about your farm, you care about your sheep and what happens to them.
It tugs at the heartstrings, the game of heartstrings.
It can, I think so, yeah. But that's pretty much it for the components. There are some decks which...
Well, that was hard to play.
That was pretty much out of play. Yeah. Oh, we've skipped through components, haven't we?
In past what we've already explained, there's another three aspects of the game that I've counted. That we've missed.
Well, all right, well, let us know what those are then.
Okay. There's the appropriately named interactive deck, which allows you to be able to interact more with other players as well as the game itself.
Yeah, that comes in the core set.
Yep, that's the core set.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
So, there's the easy deck, which is the E symbol on the cards, then on the right hand side of the cards, there's a little circle which will have an E in it, and then on the left hand side, there are some cards that you can only use in two players or more, three players or more, four players or more, five players or more.
So you just ship them out of your deck.
So you'll change the deck as you're starting out to only be one type of deck, or I usually just shuffle them all together because I think it gives you a bit of a varied experience, but you still do have to take out the ones.
You just like seeing big piles of cards.
I just like a big heap of cards, and I love riffle shuffling. That's me.
I try that and they fly everywhere.
So what's the other deck then, Matt?
The other one is the appropriately named Complex with a K deck.
Spelled Complex, right, with a K.
they couldn't be bothered changing the symbol for the English version.
I put K on there, but Complex is spelled with a C. Too late. Artwork's done. See you later. Let's move on. Print it. Go to print.
What both these decks include in them are chances, more minor improvements, more
occupations
basically, and the interactive deck has that other aspect to it.
I've likened playing with the easy deck to bowling, in that you're all playing Agricola, but you literally never interact with each other apart from like looking at each other whilst playing it.
Right.
The interactive deck and the complex deck have a lot more ways to. You build an improvement on your farm, and other people can come and pay you some food to get clay from you, but you get slightly more clay from it, that sort of thing. So there's a lot of different facets to it that can be added just by the decks, and there's a few expansion packs for the game that add to it just using cards as well, so it changes it up quite a lot.
Mm. Yeah, we can talk about this, some of the expansions a little bit later.
Yeah, for sure. Is there any more facets you want to cover?
The last facet is the major improvements, which are all laid out, and they're public for everyone to have a look at. So
there's only 10 of them.
There's only 10. Three of them at the bottom focus on the different resources. Stone, reed, and wood. You can get extra food or points from them. And then the rest are... Oh, there's the well, which gives you food over the next few turns. And then there's different cooking hearths. So you start off with a simple fireplace with a little pot over it. And that's the way that you can turn your animals and other vegetables and stuff into food.
Yeah. Right.
Otherwise, you're just eating raw sheep. Yeah. You can't do that. A fireplace, you can't eat your animals.
No.
Oh, okay.
So until you actually invest some clay or stone into an oven or fireplace, you can't do anything with your grain apart from eat it raw, which is only worth one food. Then later on, you can turn it into bread, which is worth five food. Or turn your sheep into...
So it's happy days for the sheep and the cows until the stove arrives.
I've gone full games without buying an oven, and you just get your food from other resources, selling your wood at the market, which is...
You're talking about fishing before. There's no fishing.
There's a fishing space on the board, which just gives you food, as opposed to things that you can turn into food.
An important thing to note is that as this is a resource management game, through each turn, any resource that isn't taken up by a player is left for the next round, and then more is added to it. Mm-hmm. So it's an ever-building pile. So you might start off with three wood at the very beginning, but if nobody takes up the wood offer, then it becomes six wood in the following round, and then 9 and 12. So eventually piles can build up.
If you start off with a three wood, you might be able to drive as far as the other players. just a golfing tip there. Exactly. Branching out.
Yeah. It works the same with the food as well. So you can have all these food chips just piling up until somebody eventually takes them. Mm-hmm. Sheep are the same. So you could have a pen full of sheep. And then all of a sudden, if you haven't got enough fences, but you've just purchased four sheep... one can go into your house, the rest of them are wasted. Yeah. You don't get in, unless you've got a fireplace,
and,
you get nothing for them.
We've played Agricola for 2 and a bit years now. It was one of the first board games that I played, and we used to play it very, very civilly. You know, like a... Not too much.
It's gone bad since then.
But since then, you see that stack of sheep piling up, and you know there's no way that you're going to be able to get the wood to have the fences to contain them. Yeah. You've only got space for one sheep to have as a pet in your house. And then you see one of the other players over there. He's got the fences, he's got the paddocks, but you're going to be starting player.
Yep.
And I've just taken the sheep, let them out, like four or five of them, and then just put one sheep in my house and then turn it into mutton to feed my family.
They run away.
Tune in next week for more Aaron Graham Tales of Woe. But that's good. I think from what I understand of farming is that you, at some point in time, you have to get your entire herd and just send it down the road to get in the way of traffic.
Yeah. So I think the storyline of that in this game is, I see my neighbor's got some fancy fences. I know he wants to buy the sheep at the market. There's only 5 sheep for sale. I buy them out of spite.
So he doesn't get them.
Literally cut one up and eat it in front of him and then send the rest away so he can't have them anymore.
Oh, fantastic.
It can get quite cutthroat. And
if
you're getting right into this game, then I think you really
can
enjoy
it. You get royally screwed, though. Like, you spend your whole turns planning this big fishing trip because there's 5 food on that, and that's the only way that you can feed your family.
Yeah.
And someone else takes it because they're just like, oh, it's easier than me killing one of my sheep. And you're like, but
you've got choices, man.
I literally can't feed my family though. All right.
Yeah. Okay. So it's not about building community.
Oh, no. Goodness, no. You build your family, screw the community.
Expansions.
Expansions.
What crazy expansions has Yui got in store for us?
So I own the first expansion that he released, which came with horse and meeples. It's called Farmers of the Moors. And it comes with, wait for it, more ways for your family to die.
Yay!
You both have to feed and heat them. Yeah. You're given an extra...
And horses help you heat your family?
You turn them into the weird glue. And then out of their hair and hooves. And then you heat your family with it.
The not very often practice of stallion hugging.
I was going to say, those horses in your
Hannibal?
House.
Yeah.
Yeah, when that person comes out of the horse.
Yeah.
Keep your family warm this season.
Hannibal spoilers here, only on Summerland Hand. Everyone's been watching that show now looking for horses.
That is ultra messed up.
Yeah, I like that aspect where you...
climb into the horse's womb and,
and become reborn.
Don't worry, Matt, we'll finish the rest of your sentences for you.
Where you go?
Horsebirth.
Horsebirth, isn't it? Horsebirth was one of the best planeswalkers in the last magic set.
Yeah. It's just a horse? Horsebirth,
sun champion.
Peat burning. There we go. Oh, peat burning. That's how you're going to heat your house.
Peat bog.
Yeah. Peat bog.
So instead of starting off with this clear field with your houses on it, your field is now even more difficult to make a farm on. It comes with copses of wood that you have to cut down.
Or trees.
Turn into trees.
Yeah. Copse sounds good.
And also peat bogs, which you can cut peat from to heat your house
with. I'm replacing my cups with crops. Here comes the cops.
Of a cups of
that's
wood.
Farmer rap. I just created a new musical genre.
Still want to be doing the same things, but now everything is more difficult. You do get one extra action in addition to your family members' actions, which you can use to cut peat, cut down wood. But also, if you don't have enough peat to... if you don't have enough peat to heat your whole house...
Oh, my God, yeah.
Your family members become sick and go to hospital.
Oh, shit.
And you have to go and... take them from the hospital after a turn of you not being able to use them at all.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. So they become out of action.
So they become out of action, so you have even less resources to feed your family, which is still there. But you can get horses now, which help you plow your fields more efficiently.
You'd be dragging it through the
oxen instead of you dragging it, which is what happened in the original
Agricola. Man, that is Dark Ages.
Does that give you an extra action, or does it give you 2 fields or something like that?
No, it just says if you own a horse and a plow card, they allow you to plow 2 fields when you would usually plow 1.
What's this expansion called?
It's called Farmers of the Moors.
Farmers of the Moors.
Yep. Now instead of just feeding your family, you got to heat them.
Yeah.
But now you've got horses, so it's slightly easier.
Okay. What else is there on the expansion?
Again, adds another level of complexity to it.
Are there many expansions for this?
There's quite a few. There's one that I forget the name of, but it's like 5 mini expansions in one. It adds a lot of new cards that I talked about earlier, which just can radically change the game in a lot of ways. The one time we drafted the cards before we started the game as well, which adds even another level of complexity to it. There's also one that actually you farm in space. It's got like an expansion and Agricola's in space and you...
Outer space.
Outer space, yeah.
So there's your space, David.
Yeah.
But it seems lost now in this game. Is that what?
It seems strange. There's five mini expansions, one of them being the space one.
Okay.
I haven't played it.
That's to appeal to people like me.
you didn't like Agricola when it was just farming. How about
I didn't
want to
go to a
in
field.
Space?
I can go to a field... Hang on a minute. I can go to space and do
yeah,
this.
Sure. Farming. Sure.
Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah.
There's a lot of little expansions that might... I think... They might expand it by 20 cards or something like that. Mm-hmm. So they're very small expansions. But when there's so much already in the base game, everything, they don't need a complete expansion to reinvent the game. I think Farmers of the Moors was probably the only one that they come up with that does that. Yeah. Everything else just expands a little aspect. I did speak of All Creatures Great and Small, which is the two-player version of this game.
It doesn't work that well with two players. Just you can play 1-5.
I play solo. I played the solo.
I've played a solo once before as well.
Ideally, it's three to five.
Three to five. And then with each player that you add, you get even more options. So these six empty spaces next to the actions are filled up by another six cards there. And then you have all the actions that get released every turn as well as the ones that are already printed on the board. So with five player, there is my friend Tom, who was on the Dominion podcast.
Dominion.
Suffers from choice paralysis in the best of games, where Dominion you've only got like 10 choices. This one you've got about 30 choices by the end of the few last
Shout
few
out
turns.
To Tom.
Shout out to Tom. Choice paralysis. ravages him in this game. And I like to plan my moves ahead, so I've got them, but he's sometimes just flicking two cards back and forth, finding out how his family won't perish that turn.
I like that you can play this solo. It says on the box that it's 30 minutes per player, so if you've got a five-player game, it's 2.5 hours play. But if you're playing solo, it does have a sort of a progression aspect where it's like a bit of a competition. Mm-hmm. So you must score a maximum 50 points. To win the round, if you manage to get your 50 points, then it pops up again to 60 or whatever it is.
I think it's 5 each time, but like
something like that. It's to the skill of the player.
Yeah. Right. But however, in your favor is any occupations you play, you get to choose one of those occupations and keep it in play for the next round. For the next time you play.
Oh, so it's like you're actually improving.
Yeah, so, and each time you can do that. So you're building up all these other occupations that you already start the game with. You don't start the game with any extra resources or anything like that, just these occupations after every time you play. And half an hour, I actually, when I got into this, it was great. I played three games back to back in half an hour each one.
Yeah.
And,
it's like a little RPG.
Yeah,
like
I really
like
enjoyed it for that.
A sweet farming RPG.
Yeah.
Wow.
I really...
Single player is fine.
Yeah, absolutely, I think.
It's similar to another game called Mage Knight and also Lord of the Rings LCG in that they have designed at least a few single player rules and it's very playable by itself. It's like a role-playing game.
So what do we think overall?
I feel like we've had a few gripes with the complexity of it, but honestly, it takes you one playthrough and you get it.
Yeah.
But it is one. It's on the complex end of it. Like
and you get hooked, Matt. It sounds like Matt. You're
I
right
did.
Into
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So I did.
There was a point in time where we were playing this every single time, and it's just you every time you play the game is so different because of the way that you set up your farm. Like I think one time I had to have a long house the two that were originally there, and then I built them. Lengthways along the farm because I needed planter boxes right outside my house. That was the minor improvements in my hand. Right. And then another time, my friend got all clay occupations in their hand of cards.
Oh, that's cool.
And they just were selling clay to all the other players and stuff. And this has a lot of replay value just because of the worker placements, how other people interact with you, how like it's so complex but in the best kind of way. And there's a funny enjoyability to being like, oh, man, I really want those sheep. Oh, I've got to feed my family. Feed my family first, buy sheep second.
Sheep family.
Sheep family.
When I was playing solo, the strategies I employed, the first one, which I alluded to, was the fences. Try and fence off the whole thing to minimize the amount of wasted land. Didn't work. And it didn't get me enough points. Nowhere near enough points. Yeah. Mm. So that was a failure. Then I tried plowing and getting as many crops and things in there. That didn't work for me. Then I tried getting as many animals as possible, and that didn't work for me. So there's no one single strategy can follow. Just fence off all the areas, get all the animals, get all the fields plowed, or even just expand your family. Although expanding your family will give you the most amount of points. There's no one strategy because the number of points required for each of those individual things is not enough to... you know, get you sufficient points to beat the solo play variant.
Yeah, so I think something that they could improve on in this is that specialization. They reward you for specializing in being a really good sheep farmer or something. But I've ended a game where I have like 12 sheep because I had nothing to do with them, but no cattle, no boars. You get the same points for 12 sheep as you do for 8 sheep. So you, the maximum you can get for any part of your farm is 4 points. But it doesn't reward you for... specializing in one thing. You always need to have as much of the ground covered as you can, as many family members as you could possibly get to maximize the amount of actions you can. But past that, like you can go about that in many different ways.
Mm. Yeah. What I've learned is imagine this: a 7-day holiday. You get on a train. It's eternally night for that 7 days. It's night. There's no windows in the train except for a window in the roof that looks up at the sky. Do you want to get on that train and spend 7 days just sitting there in your chair looking out the window? No. That's the worst holiday ever, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now, do you want to get into a spacecraft and spend a week flying to the moon, going around the moon, and then coming back again? Oh, yeah, because I'll be in space, baby. Yeah. I won't be on a train. And that's the difference between space and being on the planet Earth. There you go. That's my summary of the day.
Is that your summary of this game? So you will only play Agricola with the space expansion? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe it's more of a train game reflection.
Oh,
yeah.
What about farming? How do you feel about farming, though?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think I've got the answer for you here.
Okay, go on, Matt.
This is part of the Harvest Trilogy. Okay, what U.E. Rosenberg's called the Harvest Trilogy.
Yeah.
The first game in this trilogy is Agricola. The second game is Le Havre, which is the harbour.
Which looks exactly the same, doesn't it? It's the same artist, same colours.
Yeah,
no, I'm not saying in
very
the box.
Similar.
I'm saying
absolutely. Yeah. And there's that theme where you're actually trying to build up a town to be able to run an effective import-export business. I found that one a little bit drier than this. I definitely enjoyed Agricola much more than Le Havre. And the third one is At the Gates of Luoyang, which I don't know much about. I think
I've done a bit of reading.
Does it show what the setting is? Luoyang, is that like an Asian town or is it like a?
It is. It's set at the gates of a Chinese city. And it's a trading game. Yes, trading. Okay. You're selling and buying goods at the market.
Perhaps dynasties. You're building a Japanese dynasty.
No, you're selling and buying fruits and vegetables at the market.
So there you go. Does that tickle your fancy? I mean, we've got a few more different elements. So the sea. No.
Yes.
Okay. How about this, David?
Go.
This is my last one.
Yeah.
You've been stockpiling a little bit of grain.
Yeah.
On your farm. You've just witnessed the birth of your first child.
Oh, that's
who was immediately slaving away and gathering stone from the quarry.
Good for her.
You're making your way towards building what the village is now calling an oven. As you build that oven, you turn one of your grain into bread, which immediately feeds your family for the whole harvest.
I thought I had a bun in the oven at the beginning of this anecdote. Yeah.
Now you don't. Now you need more bread.
Oh, okay.
Slightly different buns.
Yeah.
And then... with your family fed for the harvest, you store that aside. It gives you some time to go out with your family, cut some wood from the forest, build some fences, get some family time going, and then you can put some sheep in there and really see your hard work.
Do we have a large screen TV and satellite reception?
It's in the 17th century, so...
Do they have DVD players back then?
I think they had...
Even the handheld
ones?
They
might have had football, but the football was made out of a pig's bladder.
And it was communities playing it, I think, out on the field. Yeah, between two non-determined fixed points.
Yeah.
There is an iOS version of this.
Right.
It works quite well as an iOS app as well.
I'm just picking up a really, really heavy box. If that doesn't convince you, then how about Caverna... Dwarven cave farming.
a game by U.E. Rosenberg.
It's a re-implementation of Agricola.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a cavern. Yeah.
in caves with dwarves, and you're mining
now
and
you're
things
talking.
Like that. All right?
Yeah, you're more excited about
fantasy
that.
Element.
And,
yeah.
And donkeys. Huh? How's yeah, that? You're
who doesn't
now.
Love a great ass?
Are there donkey animables?
Yeah. All right.
Are there? Oh, there's certainly. This box is way too heavy.
So everything that I've heard about Caverna is that it's kind of taken...
Caverna.
Caverna.
Caverna. Caverna.
Caverna. Caverna. Agricola Caverna.
Yeah.
Damn these names.
Cavan A.
Yui, you're doing my head in.
Cavan A.
Cavan A.
Cavan A.
This one is this one allows play from 1 to 7 players, but it takes a lot of the Agricola mechanics and adds yet another layer of complexity on top of them.
And published by Mayfair instead of Z-Man.
You're forging weapons.
Hey, all right. I'm there in. I'm a Cavan A man.
Cavana.
Right.
So, in addition to farming in your cave, you're mining in your cave, then you're using minerals that you mine from your cave to turn into weapons, which you can take on expeditions, which you
can
use
to kill your neighbor.
You cannot kill your neighbor. The only thing that you can use the weapons for is exploring and such.
Okay.
Yui Rosenberg doesn't like murder in
his games.
He
doesn't like murder, does he? All right. Well, that was Kavanagh in a nutshell. For ultimate excitement, we'll be right back after this with Aaron Graham quiz.
Here we go.
We're all stuffing our face with Kit Kat. Is that going to help with the quiz?
None of them are Kit Kat related.
Oh, damn
I can try and make a Kit Kat related question.
Mm. All right. My first answer was Kit Kat.
This quiz is a little bit different. I'm going to call it the Pyramid Quiz.
Okay.
Starts off very simple.
Yeah.
Ends very complex.
Oh, boy.
I hope you guys have your pens ready.
Yep. Ready.
Okay. Up. Pyramid Quiz question number one, or PQQ one. Is a simple true or false question.
Okay.
False.
Don't tell me the answers, Matt.
True or false? Goats have rectangular pupils. Oh, by the way, I didn't mention. This is a farming related one. Not definitely.
Right.
This is farming related.
I don't remember seeing that in the Agricola rulebook.
All right.
You can call this animal a pet. Also, goats do or don't have rectangular pupils.
Well, that's tricky.
Mm.
They've got fucked up eyes, but I don't know.
I'm gonna cover my eyes with a cow to see your cheek.
Yeah. Second farming related question. A ruminant animal has which of these four qualities? So this is a multiple choice one.
So it could be more than one of these?
It can only be one.
One. Can be one of these. I know what the answer is already.
All of the above?
No.
That is one of the options. All of the below. Or four stomachs. A ruminant animal has four stomachs? C. I've phrased this horrendously.
I know, it is.
Can we
so
go
confusing.
Back to what happened to A and B?
B was four stomachs.
A was all of the below.
Jesus.
Hang on, what was A?
A was all of
all
the below.
All of the below.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
A ruminant animal, yeah. A, is A, all of the below.
Right.
B.
No, no. You've got to do it at the end.
Okay.
One, two, A, B, right, C, okay, and then D, all of the above.
Hey, a ruminant animal has A, four stomachs.
Right. He says incredulously.
B, all of the above and below.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
B, sorry, eats grass.
B eats grass.
C helps the environment in some kind of way. Or D, all of the above and below.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. What's question three?
Question three.
I don't even know what letter to put down.
Okay. No, I don't know.
A, anyway, four right, stomachs. Right. B, eats grass. C, helps the environment. D, all of the above.
I'm covering with a cow.
My third farming related question.
Yeah. Is there going to be many more of these?
No, this is three or four.
Three or four.
But right, the last one is quite complex.
So two was near the peak of the pyramid.
Yeah, two, yeah.
Bloody hell. Right, question three.
Okay, question three.
Yeah.
How are baseballs related to sheep?
In how many words or less?
12 words.
How are baseballs related to sheep? Yeah. Okay.
It's like an essay. You know how you start off with short answers, true or false, multiple choice, then you go to short essay, then you go to long essay.
Long essay? Essay?
Cojones.
God, I don't know.
Question four. It's probably not good for the listener just to hear us write
That's
a 2,500-word essay.
Great listening.
Essay.
Okay. Okay, five.
I haven't got enough cows to cover that up.
Which of these... Question four, not five. Question four and five. Question four and five.
Oh.
Which of these is not the subject of a Uwe Rosenberg game?
Oh, Uwe Rosenberg.
So only write it down if you don't think it's one.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to start off with imports and exports.
Oh, like in La... Oh.
Oh, oh, oh. Farming.
Oh, like in agriculture.
Oh,
sorry. Sorry. Am I giving it away?
Working in some way.
Oh.
Pizza.
I'm working on my baseball's related to sheep answer at the moment.
Beans. Praying.
All right.
Hang on. Were you supposed to choose one of them?
Oh, there could be any amount.
This is his base of the pyramid, isn't it?
It's the base of the pyramid. Massive. It's long and expensive.
Right. Sorry, listener.
Jewelry.
Right.
Caves.
Oh, is in cavern. Oh, caverna.
Don't tell him.
Okay, I won't say anything about that then.
Beans in space.
Beans in
space. Beans.
Are you still going?
Yep.
Beans in space. I think we need to cut this short.
Glass blowing. Almost done.
Right. Glass blowing.
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah.
Female beans.
Female beans.
Not male normal beans. Female beans.
Right. Beans in space.
Did I say giraffes?
I hope you didn't.
You have
giraffes.
Ah, giraffes.
Jesus.
That is the worst question ever. I thought the other three were shit, but that one's shit and long.
Long and shit.
Yeah.
Yui has a game called Farmerama, so I don't know anything about that game.
That could cover most of these. Yeah. Female beans, pizza, glass blowing.
Farmerama. There's a name for a game.
Mm.
Too bad it's already taken.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's a shame.
All right.
All right, yeah. I think you guys have enjoyed yourselves enough now.
God.
Yeah. Okay, true or false, goats have rectangular pupils. Matt.
True.
Well, I went for false because I don't believe it's a true rectangle with four right angle sides, corners to it.
Oh, I guess that's right then. Oh. Yeah, they're not perfectly rectangular.
Thank you.
Well done. Logic your way out of that one. All right.
I'm going to throw cows at you in a minute.
Is a ruminant animal one with four stomachs, one that eats grass, one that helps the environment, or all of the below and above? Matt.
I had A. I don't know which one that was.
I had all of the above. I think they've only got two stomachs, though, but they eat grass. And are they good for the environment? Well, I don't know. They produce a lot of methane, which could be bad. But then they feed us all, and we stay alive.
The answer is all of the above.
Wait, yay! Is that purely because you know the meaning of ruminant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you ruminate on something, you sort of chew on it for a while. You know, you
and
think
cows
it over
do all
and over
of those
and over
things.
And over again. Yeah, because they're stuck in a field. They're bored. They're bored.
Yeah, I left my thesaurus up your ass.
From last night? Oh, that's nasty. Yeah.
That's why I'm not sitting straight.
Sorry, I'm a dictionary.
All right, short essay portion. How are baseballs related to sheep?
Well,
they're about the same size as a sheep's testicle.
Oh, that's good. I'm going to give you marks for creativity here.
Oh, all right.
How many?
A sheep.
10.
A sheep's stomach.
Oh.
Stuffed with stuff makes a haggis. A baseball is a leathery thing stuffed with stuff, and it's not a haggis.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
Sorry, I didn't get... I started my original answer with, because if you hit them out of the park, they... And then came up with no punchline. So, I don't know. I'm lost. If you hit sheep with a baseball bat, they also
travel some distance.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. You linked it back to haggis.
Homer. If you hit a homer with a sheep, it's better than shitting a heap with a shoma. No. All right. Just give us the answer.
Matt gets the point for that round.
Yeah,
for mentioning the word testicle. The actual answer. The actual answer is there's 50 meters of wool in the core of every baseball. It's what gives it its springiness.
Ooh.
So wool comes from Llamas. That's it.
Yes.
Llamas. Alpacas as well, actually.
All right.
Alpaca baseballs, do you think they're expensive?
Well done. Now, it's only going to take us another 20 minutes to get through this.
Okay, sure. Yuri Rosenberg has made a game about imports and exports. It's called La Havre. Yes. Yuri Rosenberg has made a game about farming. It's called Agricola. Yeah. Yuri Rosenberg has made a game about working and praying. It's called Work and
Pray.
We're
supposed to give you our in Italian answers.
No, I think this is quicker.
This is quicker. You can tell me afterwards.
Oh, okay.
I've crossed off praying. Oh. I wrote praying, I've crossed it off.
So, yeah.
Because I was wrong.
Oh, okay. Yui Rosenberg has made a game about beans. Matt, what do you think?
Bonanza?
David?
Yeah, I'd say. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Correct. Yui Rosenberg, has he made a game about caves?
Yes.
Caverna?
Has he made a game about glass blowing?
Yes. The Glass Road.
I said no.
You said no? Yeah. Oh, okay. 1 point for Matt there.
Yeah.
No. You guys got shipping, farming, and working, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Has Yui Rosenberg made a game about pizza?
No.
Nope.
Both incorrect. The game is a card game called Mamma Mia. And it's about mixing piss ingredients.
I know that game.
Yeah. Yui Rosenberg, has he made a game about beans in space?
Yes.
No.
The correct answer is yes. It's called Space Beans.
Back in the hunt. Good old Yui. I told you he was a madman.
Has Yui Rosenberg made a game about female beans as opposed to all the other games about male beans?
Yes.
No.
The correct answer is yes.
What an idiot.
What's this guy with beans?
I have no idea. He made Bonanza, did really well. Yeah. Then he's like, do you know what this game needs? Space beans.
Females.
Now female needs beans. Females. Female. I think it's called She Beans or Sheens or some shit.
Yeah, right.
Oh, boy.
Has Yui Rosenberg made a game about jewelry?
Yes.
I'll say yes as well.
Yeah, you're both correct. Yeah, both yes.
I've got no idea how many points I should have gotten by now.
And has Yui Rosenberg made a game about giraffes?
Oh, what was that? Yeah, so.
No.
Yes. Matt McHale takes it.
Yui
Rosenberg has not made a game about giraffes. Oh. Out of all of those very inane subjects, Yui Rosenberg has only not made a game about giraffes. So.
Okay, so what was the score?
Score was 4-3 to Matt.
Hooray!
On that sketchy sheep testicle thing. So apart from the testicles, it's a draw between you guys.
I've gone down on Matt again. Oh, sorry, that's badly phrased.
Mostly the phrasing.
Back with tweets and news. Neats and twos.
Neats and twos indeed.
All right, bit of news. Seven Landhead Super Series. Is that online yet? Have we got the latest one online?
It's going up tonight.
It's going up tonight with commentary. That was game four, wasn't it?
Final Super Series qualifier number four.
And when's the next Super Series? It's the first week of September.
After the August Grand Prix, which I'll be very excited to talk about next time we talk magic.
Cool. And the competition for Stor Garrick is for remembering something we say. And we started to talk about doing a live show when we do that. We're going to do the draw and we'll just do a show
in
the store.
We'll just do a live show, with a bit of a little audience.
That'll be a few months away yet. But start getting yourself excited if you want to come down.
I think near the Super Series final as well, so we can cover all that stuff in it as well.
Yeah, so it'll be a big
maybe
event.
A Christmas one.
Woo!
Ooh,
maybe Father Christmas would be there. Yeah. All right. So, what questions, tweets, and comments have we got out there in the world? I've got a question here. All right. Justin said, "I love this game. Can't wait to see what you guys think of it." His question was, "Any suggestions on teaching first timers?" So, what we go about that? We said it wasn't a gateway game. What's the best way to get into it if you haven't got a?
Following the.
The family. There's a family version of the game, of the rules, where you get rid of the occupations. I think that's the only thing you get rid of, the occupations.
The actions that you can take on the board are slightly different. They're more catered towards... Yeah.
If you flip over the board, if you flip over the action board, there is actually a family side, which has slightly modified actions. Mm-hmm.
That simplifies it a little bit.
Yeah. There is actually one of the thoughtful things about... We haven't talked about reference cards or anything like that, which is, what the hell's going on?
Oh, my God.
We love a good
So I'll talk about
card.
Them now. On the back of all the playing boards, there is actually a rules explanation or a tutorial type explanation.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is I'd, very...
I'd use it in conjunction with the rules, not exclusively, because it misses a few things. But on
could
the
it
family
get you going,
side,
though? Yeah. Could it get you going?
It's more like it talks about corner cases and what to do when you do stuff, as opposed to how the whole game flows and that sort of thing.
The problem with that, though, is, however, when you go to, you know, want to play the game, you have to turn it over to look at it. So it's no good as a reference, especially if you started the game.
Yeah.
You know, so all your stuff's on the other side of the board. I think we covered stuff, you know, look online. There's usually reasonably good video tutorials
on
YouTube.
Can I say one?
Yeah, go.
Rado plays through. Yeah. Rado runs through, it's called.
One of the best ways to do it is to the first time that you play it, don't play with the cards in your hand. Minor improvements or occupations. We tried this once because there's so much to take in when you're first looking at it. And the game, honestly, I feel is complex enough without having those cards that you can...
So which ones do you take out?
Occupations and minor improvements usually dealt out six or seven each.
Seven
each.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's 14 cards at the very beginning of the game.
And you've got to decide which ones to prioritize and that sort of thing. Unnecessary level of complexity when you first play it.
Yeah.
But also the family cards, which is the other side of the board, also lets you... it gives you food in addition to some resources. So you're never going to starve your family. Which is one of the biggest problems with this, is not prioritizing the right things.
It wouldn't be a very family-friendly game if you could starve your family.
Yeah. And this family-friendly game, your family might all die. So
family-friendly game where families might end up carking it by the end of the game. Yeah. I hope we helped you there, Justin.
Yeah. Well, I think that's good. And what else was I thinking? Yeah. And also, you know, go down to Good Games. Get someone who's already played it and ask them to guide you through it.
Thank you, Tess Lau.
Gaming. Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. Get Tess Lau if you've got one locally.
Yeah, if you come into the store on Thursday nights, we do board game run-throughs. And we've got the Western Australian Board Game Association coming in.
WABA.
Yeah, a few Thursdays a month now as well. So I'm sure there'll be someone there that has played Agricola before that'll be able to help you out. If not, I will probably be able to help you out. Because I quite... like, something maybe that I haven't said as much is that I really, really do enjoy this as some of my friends' favorite games because of that decision tree. Like, you feel like anything is possible within the realm of the game outside of going to space and such. I really, really enjoy the amount of complexity to it. If I want to bust out a complex game, this is a really good one for us.
Yeah, I agree totally. Yeah.
Right. Well, we had a lot of comments after the busted booster.
Oh, yeah.
Took a photo of that and posted that. But I think maybe we'll save that for the next
magic
podcast.
Yeah,
for doing the magic. Get online, go to the Seven Land Hand on Facebook. How do we get to there, Aaron?
It's facebook.com/Seven Land Hand.
Fantastic. You'll find from the 2nd of August the busted booster from last time. Let us know what you think.
I think what I'd really appreciate is if another person makes the same comment about taking the token.
Yeah, there's no need to make the token joke. That's been done.
Why did you look at me?
Oh, no. Was it you?
It was me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's three other people posted after you, I think.
Matt's done that gag as well. Yeah.
All right. Sorry, man.
Keep them coming in, and we'll post you out or give it to you in person, a Hyper Magic Nerd badge, which is all very exciting.
We can talk about the future next month?
We're going to talk about the future. What do you want to do?
Yeah. We decided, with much thought of this...
I can't remember there being a discussion.
Oh, you weren't involved. Should we surprise you?
The podcast up.
Okay. Go on, hit me. What,
David, close your ears. Everybody else.
It's not going to be about farming, is it?
La Havre.
Yeah.
Seven Wonders.
I have played Seven Wonders.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't, so I'll be learning something new.
Okay. Excellent.
And I think in the future we're going to be doing the D&D podcast.
We're going to be doing a D&D podcast.
Is that going to be like a Seven Land Hand extra? Or is that going to be a
we haven't worked
episode?
Out how we're going to do that because we've already got a Seven Land Hand extra. That's the magic stuff. It might be a Seven Land Hand D&D or...
Seven Land.
What was it? Dungeons and Seven Land Hand.
Oh, that was right, wasn't it? How to Train Your Seven Land Hand. Something like
that.
Yeah. Something like, well, it'll come up with a snappy title. It'll excite you all. And then we'll decide if we want to record it all or do whatever. But yeah, I think we're going to get a few of us together just to play a couple of weeks of fifth edition.
Yeah, fifth edition, the new box set starter, the new starter box set.
Is anyone calling it D&D next?
No, it's now fifth edition.
Fifth ed. Right. I'm glad they can now.
Matt's going to DM it. We've got me, Aaron, and who else? We've got a couple other people coming down as well.
Jess,
actual female voice on
lady on the podcast.
A lady, but she's going out with you, isn't she?
Yeah, I think she's scientifically she's a lady.
Oh, okay.
That's a weird thing to say.
Yeah. Does she listen?
Yeah, every now and then. Yeah.
not to this podcast. All right. So we'll be back in a fortnight then with Kian and the next Seven Land Hand Extra. What might be on that agenda, Aaron? What are you thinking of?
We will be talking Khans of Tarkir spoilers. Oh, ooh, my God. I can't
is that happening already?
A new set is coming out very soon.
My goodness.
So that'll be near the end of this month.
Two weeks from now.
No,
yeah,
Kian's
yeah.
away.
It's what? Have you got as excited about Khans of Tarkir?
No, spoilers are going to be coming out because Kian is away until.
Oh,
weeks.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, okay.
So
well,
we won't be able to do it till the week after, and then we'll have Seven Wonders a week after that. Then 2 weeks after that will be pre-release weekend.
Oh, so if you followed all that, listener, I think we're taking a break for 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yeah. Oh boy! All right, we're on holiday. Yeah. But don't worry about that, Matt. Don't look at me confused. You're still coming back in a month's time.
I spent all my money on Theros, so I've got no room
that
for
Khans. That was a year ago now.
Yeah.
Theros,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's Theros is what got me into magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The same happened with Innistrad, the classic horror kind of thing.
Oh,
a lot
that.
Of people
Man,
on board
I love
with that. Because
yeah.
they when they do the top-down set, the Greek mythology one, that would have gotten me into it if I didn't already religiously play magic.
For sure. All right then, Aaron. Take us out.
All right, awesome. Well, one of my favorite bits of Agricola is the worst tagline that I've ever seen. You look at it, the game already looks pretty dark when you whip the game out and you're like, oh, I have to do what to not have my family starve. The tagline for Agricola is 17th century, not an easy time for farming. Why would you sell the game with that?
Not an easy
it's
time.
Really on the front, and then in brackets, in case that didn't pique your interest, Agricola is the Latin word for farmer. That's what I want when I want to open a box.
Yeah.
But yeah,
jump on board. Jump on
gamer.
Board.
Gamer, it's going to be enjoyable.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Oh, and there's also this.
This is just a little bit of extra music after the theme tune outro. But that's probably enough of that.
My small pets taste like Agricola.
All right, DJ Aaron, just fade that out.
Seven Land Hand.
I love the other. There was I can't remember which one it was. You said, but you kind of said, "Dick."
Dick World.
That was Dick World. That. I